Bickley and Murata open up the phones for you to talk Cardinals. The 1 minute warning.
Yep, it's that time. Every Monday, win or lose, we like to hear from the fans on what they saw from the Arizona Cardinals. A lot to like, obviously, in a 28-point win over the Dallas Cowboys last night on Monday Night Football. But I think Bick and I have pointed out some things that weren't so hunky-dory last night, huh?
Yeah.
It's not 100% positive.
But who would think that? Seriously, who would think that?
You never know.
We're
all individuals. The phone number.
Well, no, that is a good point. There's somebody on Twitter who lashed out at me. Dude, I love every time what you write. I'm paraphrasing now. But why are you so negative? And then there's somebody else telling us to relax. It's only the Cowboys. So somewhere in between kind of is where we're at.
I read somebody who sampled your work on ArizonaSports.com on another website and took you to task.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
I gotta find it.
Oh, please do.
I didn't print it, but I will find it.
Oh, please do.
The phone number is 602-260-9870. That's how you get in. How this works on the 1 minute warning is you have exactly 1 minute to make your point. So we recommend you forego the pleasantries and asking how we're doing.
Right. Right.
Bick doesn't like to be asked questions.
No, he doesn't.
We know this. If you go over your allotted 60-second time limit, you will hear this. Nothing personal. We just got to keep it moving. So that being said, 602.
Or if you really suck, too, I might play that and hang up on you.
We were going to add the gong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll get a gong. Okay.
Okay, good. Gong. Right. Bang a gong. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. We will start in Tempe and talk to Sally here on the 1 minute warning. What's up, Sally?
First and foremost, Bick, I owe you some jerky.
Okay, good, Sally. I appreciate that. You know, I always like good beef jerky.
But I want to say if the defense plays like they did last night, we're going to beat Seattle. And congrats to Buddha for everything he done great.
Man, you even got a jerky plug in there. Sounds bad, by the way. And you still had 40 seconds left, Sally.
That's okay.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, I don't know if you can duplicate that performance defensively against a team like Seattle. But if you have elements, if you have that attitude, that ferocity, that aggressiveness against Seattle, it's going to make for an interesting ball game, in my opinion. That was so far out of what we had experienced normally from this Cardinals defense. And the last time, Bick, I'll discount the Jets game because the Jets are just woeful in every way. Go back to the Carolina game. They had their starting quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, but their best offensive player in Christian McCaffrey was not available for that game. And we saw the Cardinals kind of on their heels defensively the entire ball game.
Yep,
that was disappointing. We saw the exact opposite of that last night. I loved what I saw.
Yeah.
602-260-9870 is the phone number. Out to Goodyear, and Ray is up next here on the 1 minute warning. What's up, Ray?
Hey, first, thank you guys for having me on. Mm-hmm. Second, great win for the Cardinals. However, we do need to clean up the penalties because, you know, that seems just to be a thing, you know, and it caused to have a little bit somewhat of a slower start. The penalties just backing up at the beginning of the game because everyone knows if they was playing any other team or any other better quarterback, I mean, they would have took advantage of us having penalties and not be able to score first, and it would have been a whole different momentum change. But on the flip side, I love how the defense is playing, especially without Chandler Jones. Maybe Vance is getting more creative. And it's on to Seattle, baby. It's on to Seattle. I can't wait to see them. They're about to be 5-1. Let's get it. Let's go, Bird Gang.
Appreciate the phone call,
Ray.
There
we go. I like the energy.
They can't be 5-1, though, unfortunately.
Well, no, the Seahawks good, though. After the game.
Oh, I got what you're saying, yeah.
But there are reports coming out of Dallas that there are a lot of players starting to chirp now against Mike McCarthy and his staff. There's a lot of wreckage left behind last night in Dallas, and the Cardinals should take Great pride in that. They created a lot of negativity that the Cowboys are dealing with this morning, from people who want a new quarterback to players who are grumbling about Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, after the game, came out and said last night that he felt his team was more prepared for that game than they had been for any game this year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say that?
It's just, I know we would always get frustrated in the past here when you talk about, oh, it was a great week of practice. I don't know how we lost 37-3. Practice doesn't necessarily translate to games. We know this. Jane Slater is an NFL reporter for NFL Network. She's the one that put the tweet out earlier this morning. Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another player said, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs.
Wow. Wow.
But I love people replying with GIFs of Jason Garrett just going, ah!
That coming from the first place Dallas Cowboys locker room.
There was a headline that said the NFC East is going to give us the worst playoff team in NFL history this year. There's a lot of time left in the season.
We joked with the guys from Dallas about that last night. Mm-hmm. The 6-10 was going to do it. Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics wrote, there's a 28% chance that the winner of the NFC East will have 6 or fewer wins, according to Football Power Index. In 13 of FPI's 20,000 simulations this morning, a team won the division with just 4 wins. 11 of those were the Eagles, with one apiece of the Giants and Washington. In one simulation, the Chiefs won 15 games and the entire NFC East won 14 games combined. There are now 6 NFL teams with as many or more wins than that division has combined. It continues to get uglier and uglier.
It doesn't seem like any of those teams are going to start all of a sudden going on a run.
No.
Like, the closest one was Dallas with Dak Prescott, and now, my goodness, they look terrible.
Yeah,
they
this
do.
This is a great point. I didn't realize this. We were tweeted this. This is the second time the Cardinals have caused great angst for Mike McCarthy. The Steve Wilks game got him fired in Green Bay.
Mike McCarthy lost to Josh Rosen and Steve Wilks and got another
job. They should fire him again right now.
They should. Right. They should bring him back to Green Bay and then fire him again. 602-260-9870 as we continue on the 1 minute warning out to Peoria. Blake is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Blake.
All right, check it out, gentlemen. So, first of all, I got hung up on during the Doug and Wolf show. That stunk. All right. But anyways, after that. So last night during the first quarter, I kinda got bored watching it, but I just felt like the Cardinals were gonna win. That was just, you know, something I believed in. I don't know why, but you know, something happened. Moving on, the game dictated our offense, and I have to agree with everything that you guys have been saying, that the game really dictated how we played offensively. Defensively, that was the best showing. Gives me faith in Vance Joseph, which was kind of dwindling. I have to also say, as a coach, you can game plan the perfect game plan, but sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way, and when it doesn't bounce your way, you just have to adjust on the fly. I think Cliff is very good at doing that. Lastly, I want to challenge Gambo to a box jump. I do a 60-inch vertical box jump, and I want to challenge him to a...
Was that a 1 minute, or was that a...
Blake's call had a lot of elements there.
Yeah,
started off slow. I'm wondering why he got hung up on. He got strong in the middle. You know, you don't want to flex during the 1 minute warning, right?
No, I had this ready.
How many guys are out there jumping on boxes?
Well, Blake, you know this. John goes on the air at 2 o'clock. Call back then. We can't help facilitate a box jump off between you and Gamble.
He's very accessible via Twitter.
Yeah.
Unless, they're, like many people, you've been blocked.
Right. That's right. That's right.
All right. We've got the 1 minute warning going. Cardinals beat the Cowboys 38-10 on this Big Red Tuesday here on Bickley and Murata. Let's keep it going. Out to Phoenix. Malik is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What's up, Malik?
What's up, son? You know, here's the reality. The reality is, if we would have lost that game, we would have said that Kyler wasn't that good. when we look at the fact that we played a game that gave away 5-4 turnovers, a second-tier quarterback, we did what we were supposed to do. We won. Am I excited about our team? No, I'm not excited at all. Because I think that we are okay and not great. We're going to need to get better in all facets of the game. There's schemes up great, but truthfully, we play the Dallas Cowboys. And that's all I have to say. We played and beat the Dallas Cowboys. Get excited.
All right. Thanks, Malik. Appreciate it. What do you say to that viewpoint? I'm sure there's people listening right now that feel similarly to Malik does and think this Cardinals team should be 6-0. They had two flat stinker performances against teams that were beatable when they faced them and still are beatable.
Yeah.
But I always say this, Bick, it's the National Football League and you cannot apologize for beating who shows up on your schedule regardless of all the ingredients that go into it.
No, my thinking on that, like I said earlier, even though I was as disturbed as anybody by those two losses and I was the one who first was floating out that 5-0 thing, I really do believe that if you'd asked me before week one, will you take 4-2 going into Seattle? Going into a game against Seattle in Glendale, I would have said yes. I would have not expected them to have been 6-0. And they're in a position now where if they can beat the Seahawks, they're going to be a half game out of first place. So they win this game, they've given themselves a chance with all of the growing pains we've endured along the way.
I agree with that.
All right.
And I agree with the point, too, that I would take 4-2 if you would have presented that at the beginning of the year. I don't think I had 4-2 at the beginning of the year when that schedule first came out. Maybe I did. Who knows? It seems like it was 26 years
ago. We all knew that the schedule was top-heavy with easy teams. I think in retrospect, we didn't know that collectively these six would be as bad as they've been. Right?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 602-260-9870 out to the West Valley. And surprise, we talk to David next here on the 1 Minute Warning. What's up, David? David.
Hey, how's it going?
There you go.
We lost him. Move on, Vinny.
All right. We'll bounce back. Let's go to John in Tempe. Hey, John, you're up.
Hey, anytime the Cardinals can shellack the Cowboys, it's a great week. Kyler Murray is must-see TV, especially out here in the Southwest. I mean, he is so exciting to watch. I'm a tad disappointed with his accuracy sometimes. I think you've got to hit Fitzgerald in the back of that end zone there and a couple of other throws. I'm like kind of just shaking my head like, how did he miss that one? But, God, he's electric on offense. Defensively, I don't know if it was Buda Baker or if it was Patrick Peterson that said after the game, first time we've been able to trust each other in the back end. And it really looked like it. Finally, maybe a completed pass, and they'd be right on it. They tackle him right away. It was so exciting to see. And obviously the pressure they put on Dalton last night was great. So, yeah, we can put that pressure on Russell. I think we've got to definitely have a good chance.
Yeah. John, good call. Appreciate the phone call.
Buda Baker versus Russell Wilson. It's not a boxing match, but Buda Baker as a quarterback of that defense, as a new captain of that defense, it's interesting.
The problem is when you sell out against Russell Wilson, who we've seen many, many times.
Yeah.
He's so good at scrambling and making plays while he's running.
He's good at everything.
He's good at everything.
He's good at everything.
He's not Andy Dalton that when he faces pressure, he's either going to throw an interception.
Stop me if you've heard this before. I expected more from that backup quarterback.
Man,
yeah.
Can we just poke fun at ourselves here a little bit?
Sure.
The two of us have been so stinking respectful to veteran backup quarterbacks
really
the last
been.
2 weeks.
We really have
weeks.
Been.
And Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton have made us look like dolts.
Yeah.
They look like they're finished.
I completely agree. And I was like, and even in copying to being wrong about Flacco, I was saying as late as yesterday, but Andy Dalton's not that guy. Andy Dalton's still in his prime.
Well,
man,
the thing we talked about yesterday was, okay, Flacco, he Flacco'd it pretty much.
He did.
But who's he throwing to? Jamison Crowder and a bunch of guys who are going to be working in insurance at this time next year.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton had guys a trio of really good wide receivers. I wasn't that impressed with any of them.
No.
Michael Gallup dropped a touchdown pass. CeeDee Lamb looked out of sorts.
Yeah.
And Amari Cooper.
He came on late, but before that, he really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time the Cardinals take on a team with a veteran backup quarterback, right. I'm talking so much smack going into the game.
Same here. Yeah. Same here. No more respect given. No, I'm done.
You got to earn it.
Yeah.
602-260-9870. Drew is in Gilbert here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Drew?
Hey, just want to thank the Cowboys defense for allowing Kenyon Drake to get that garbage time touchdown for me to win my fantasy football game. And then I also want to thank the Monday Night Football crew for showing all the miserable Cowboy fans. That was absolutely awesome. I love being able to revel in the fact that they're absolutely miserable. And I'm really looking forward to next week against Seattle. It's going to be exciting. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. And going back to a previous point, too, for all of the pain that the Dallas Cowboys have inflicted on the Cardinals, the fan base, the market, over the last 32 years, I'm never going to discount beating the Dallas Cowboys. To me, the equivalent of that is if, let's say the Dodgers, somehow by the grace of God, get really bad at baseball in the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to feel bad that the Diamondbacks are beating them 17 out of 19 times during a regular season?
No.
I'm not going to because they've caused a ton of pain.
Yeah. It's like that very brief stretch where the Suns, I think 2 years in a row, they eliminated the Lakers from the playoffs in the early 2000s.
Take it any way you can get.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. All those teams are in that group.
But hating on the Cowboys fans, it's nothing unique to Arizona. It's a cottage industry to Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Every time the Cowboys lose, he turns it into a dance routine.
Yeah.
Right.
He did last night, too.
It's absurd.
Puts on his cowboy hat and his sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's because that's who the Cowboys are.
It's not the subtle.
That graphic last night, I was shocked at the graphic they put up. There's only 8 teams in the NFL that don't have a conference championship appearance since 1996. My son was born in 1996. He's going to be 25 years old in March.
And those answers are, if I said, name the 7 worst franchises in the NFL.
Cleveland, Houston, Miami, Detroit, Buffalo, Washington, Cincinnati, and how about them Cowboys?
That's right.
602-260-9870. Got time for a few more calls. James has been patient. He's in Phoenix, and he's up next here on the 1 Minute Warning. What's up, James? James, go ahead.
James is not there.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, let's try. He normally hits leadoff. Hitting in the back of the order
today. I think the Tuesday
today
threw him off.
Yeah. Tom and Gilbert, you're up on the 1 Minute Warning.
Tuesday just had me all screwed up. So the first thing I'm doing, if I am Cliff Kingsbury and I am the head coach of the winning record possessing Arizona Cardinals, I'm going into Vance Joseph's office and I'm saying, where has this defense been for the last 5 weeks? You played with an identity. They came out, they stated early, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to come at you, and we are going to punch you in the mouth. They did, they won, they made it look easy. They didn't make it look impressive. Kyler Murray will get more consistency in his game when I believe he gets to actually face an offseason that is normal. His first offseason, you know, preparing for the Major League Baseball draft, being the number one overall pick, this one being COVID interrupted and virtual. I think this kid will settle down when he goes back to his baseball roots, plants his back foot, steps into his throws, and lets it go. Right now, he is on a lot of...
Oh. Good points, Tom.
We can't bend the rules. Even,
No
Tom
apologies.
In Gilbert.
No, it's football. It's hardcore, baby.
It's an unforgiving sport.
Oh, it sure is.
But Tom brings up a word that we hadn't talked about defensively. Even though the Cardinals' statistics in some areas, getting off the field on third down, had been strong except for the one game against Carolina. Their red zone defense has been good. Their points against has been good. But I wouldn't say that before last night we saw anything resembling an identity defensively.
I would agree with that.
Now, you don't build an identity on a Monday night and then go back to your old ways on the next Sunday and continue to have that identity. You got to stick with, you know, what's working for you. I did not have that much faith in Vance Joseph, the schemer, as a defensive coordinator. And he shut me up early last night, and he kept shutting me up. It was an impressive scheme, and it was carried out very well by the Cardinals' defensive players.
And I believe Doug said that this morning, that maybe the loss of Chandler Jones sort of forced Vance Joseph into we need to kind of scheme up and dial up some pressure here.
I mean, that makes sense to some degree. If you're a defensive coordinator, okay, how are we going to get pressure on Andy Dalton? Oh, we've got one of the best pass rushers in football in Chandler Jones. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't have Chandler Jones? I better draw something up. I better put something together. And it was evident early. Dennis Gardeck was blowing by people early in that game. Bringing Buda Baker off the edge. Patrick Peterson blitzed off the edge a couple times. It was creative and it was carried out very well. All right, thanks to all the callers today on the 1 minute warning. We appreciate it.
You want to feel old, man? You mentioned your oldest son turning 25.
I already do, but go ahead.
Tony Lewis, the singer of The Outfield, has died at age 62. He's the guy that sang Your Love, the famous Outfield song.
I think we got our song of the day.
There you go. I think we did.
That's sad.
It is sad.
And I do feel old. Thanks, Beck.
You and me both.
I'm going to do some box jumps during the break here. Coming up, more on that defense, more on that defensive identity straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata on this Victory Tuesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Dalton, quick throw, over the middle, picked off, intercepted by Baker at the 15, gets up and runs, 20, 30, 35, 40, 50, Baker to the 40, and tackled there by Elliott.
32 shows up in every situation all night, just such a tremendous player and great leader for us.
They always come in bunches, turnovers come in bunches, and we got a lot of turnovers as a defense today.
Bickley and Murata talk Cardinals. Cowboys, Monday Night Football, now.
I think on the defensive side, we learned something tonight from the Arizona Cardinals. Vance Joseph called a very aggressive game, which we didn't know how he was going to call it coming in with all the weapons that Dallas has on the offensive side. But if this defense, which was one of the worst in the NFL a year ago, if they can continue to improve, now I think Arizona might have something going in the NFC West.
Brian Greasy from the ESPN Monday Night Football crew. Talking about what he saw defensively, it was similar to what you saw, similar to what I saw. That's the key now, is being able to duplicate, not necessarily identical game plans, that never happens, but the defenses that stand out from an identity standpoint, you can always count on aggressiveness traveling. You can always count on
That's a great point.
Pressure traveling. The Cardinals defense become one of those defenses? Because if they can, then I agree with Brian Greasy. I think they can do some stuff in the NFC West.
Okay, I do agree with that, because I think the one thing that I really liked about the defense, not just the adjustments and Vance Joseph doing everything that we implored him to do without Chandler Jones being on the field, but they just, I said it earlier, they played like they wanted to fight. And they just were really aggressive. They just seemed very predatorial around the line of scrimmage. They seemed very confident. I just liked the vibe. They took the field with good energy, aggressive. It was, well done. I'm really, really, I'm stoked by that. I hope that they can apply some of that to a team like Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Because now you put yourself in the position where if you do happen to beat Seattle, now you're back in the running for the division title.
Yeah.
And that's good. You give yourself a shot. Now, before you move on, I want to rip Jared for a minute. Can I rip Jared for a minute?
What's ever stopped you before?
Thank you. One of his poll questions are, he's asking Cardinal fans to write a two-line poem, right? Why not a four-line poem? Because four lines complete a stanza.
I know, and I thought about that. I wanted to sort of keep it as simple as I could.
Okay. But
a
poem is not a poem without four lines, technically. And I wrote one with four lines, and it's brilliant.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's really good.
1 o'clock.
I'm really proud of it.
We got to wait till 1 o'clock to hear this poetry?
Roses are red like Andy Dalton's hair, and just like the honey badger, Buddha don't care.
Okay. Now, see, I could argue that that is a two-line poem.
Yeah.
I sort of meant two lines as in there's one rhyme in it.
Okay. I gotcha. Okay.
But that works. That's pretty good.
Why not just call it a one-rhyme poem, then?
Why do they call it?
Just call,
why don't they call that kind of color hair orange also?
That's a good point. Because it's, really
it's
red.
Always orangey. It's never actually red.
Right.
And his is really orange.
Also, violets.
It really is.
Roses are red. Violets
aren't blue.
Violets are poorly named, I guess, if they're blue.
I forget who it was on Twitter last night, but I chuckled when somebody pointed out that Andy Dalton looks like the actor Zachary Quinto auditioning to play Conan O'Brien in a movie.
That's pretty good.
I laughed pretty good.
That's
at that
pretty
one.
Good. That's pretty good.
Now, about the defense, Buda Baker, we can all agree, was the tone setter. I think Buda Baker is going to have his name announced by the NFC tomorrow as the defensive player of the week. He got his first pick, but here was Buda Baker after the game reflecting on the game plan against Andy Dalton.
Yeah, the game plan going was we knew that they were going to try and get Zeke the ball early, and we knew they were going to try and maybe boot or game with Andy being, you know, first start as a Cowboy. And for us, we just try to show different looks. You know, when it was too high, we try to show one high, and when it was one high, we try to show high. Just showing him different looks and trying to get him confused because, you know, he that was his first, so it was pretty hard for him. We knew that Andy Dalton's a great QB. We knew that if we were just going to show our looks, he was going to dice us. So we had to mix our looks up.
Yeah, so once again, props to Vance Joseph for bringing that element to the game and making the Cowboys adjust early. They couldn't. It turned Andy Dalton into Captain Checkdown. It unplugged the Cowboys' offense to the point where they just flat out quit. Now,
yeah, but to your point, real quick before you move on, I'm sorry if I'm derailing you here, but to your poem, you got the honey badger reference in there.
Yeah,
Buda Baker is wreaking havoc. Like the honey badger is now in Kansas City, and he was at the height of his career in Arizona. There's a lot of similarities there.
Very much so, yeah. And the fact that this guy came back after tearing up his thumb, and it's just, to me, it's very Honey Badger-esque what this guy is doing. So I'm really stoked about that. I thought defensively it was appropriate to give Jordan Phillips a game ball. Not only did he force a fumble, but he was instrumental in kind of keeping Zeke Elliott and that Cowboys rushing attack from dominating early. And you know that he had to deal with the funeral of his father, so he managed to do both. I thought Hassan Reddick flashed a little bit.
Two sacks.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good this year.
He's been pretty good this year.
Finally figured out.
Yeah, you put him on the field, let him time a beeline to the quarterback. It's a good role for him.
I mean, is this maybe a lesson for Isaiah Simmons? Because Reddick, it took a while to figure out like what he could do and how they could use him correctly, and now that they figured it out?
Well, let's hope it doesn't take 4 years for them to figure out a role for Isaiah Simmons. But
well, his role... Reddick's role pretty much changed every year.
It did. It did. Yeah, he hasn't had an easy go of it, and he's such a cool dude. I'm glad to see him having some success.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what his role is going into the game, and he's been pretty good in that role so far this year.
Yeah.
Let's hope he can keep it up. I mean, there's some nitpicky things on defense. I think Andy Dalton's worst throw and worst decision of the game was the one that Jordan Hicks dropped. We're probably talking about a 45-point game, if not for that drop.
Yeah.
And those things happen. Again, it's nitpicky, but you got to make that play. And then defensive penalties on the Cowboys' one garbage time touchdown drive, I think they got a little lax there. You can't have that many defensive penalties.
Yeah, at that point in time, they were just riding out the clock.
And I think two of those were pass interferences on Peterson, but not Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, both of them. Kevin Peterson. And they weren't, because the Cowboys were so deep in the Cardinals territory, they didn't count for that much yardage. Mm-hmm. But in a situation like that, you just look at the overall number of penalties accepted.
Yeah.
And they had seven again. If you want to be a good team, you, you can't continue to lead the league in penalties.
There's going to be an obvious storyline going into the Seahawks game, and we got plenty of time to focus on that. But the big thing now to me, it's going to be the value of momentum and winning a game on Monday night. You've got one team that will be playing for the first time in 14 days and one team that is playing after 6 days. The Seahawks come in very well rested. They do. It's Bill Murray getting out of his bunk in stripes.
You do an excellent Carl Spackler from Caddyshack.
I don't know if it's excellent.
It's pretty good, but that's not necessarily how Bill Murray always sounds.
It is in some people's heads.
I guess that's true.
I'll always take that.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, you're right. He wasn't like that in Groundhog Day or Scrooged. You're right. Merry Christmas! Goes to Christmas past. But it's true.
So, shine campers. Don't forget your booties because it's cold outside.
That's right. So to me, this is something where the momentum of this is going to have to carry this defense. And hopefully this defense after that performance. I mean, that was a star quality performance. You made the Cowboys look stupid.
On national television. It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. It really is.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, we're feeling pretty good in Phoenix right now. How's the other side feeling in Dallas? We'll focus on that viewpoint straight ahead on this Big Red Tuesday. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I mean, I don't think we can use that as an excuse. I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. I mean, I started the game out with two fumbles, gave the ball away, and that gave them all the momentum that they needed to go and take off. So I mean, I want to say I'm sorry, and this one's on me, and I need to be better for this team.
If there's one thing every team is saying this year is this: we don't want to hear any excuses. And although their offensive line's been decimated and their defense has been poor, there's no excuse. You're in a weak division. Find a way to get it done, because if you don't, you're going to be facing those same questions that really people ask of Dallas every year. What is going on down there? In the offseason, it's always Dallas has weapons. Dallas has all these guys that can score points. Dallas, 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 Dallas. And then they have a performance like this?
Zeke Elliott, Cowboys running back, who did have his fingerprints on that loss for the Cowboys, no doubt, followed by Lewis Riddick of ESPN's Monday Night Football crew. What exactly is going on in Dallas? It's such a unique situation, because we all saw it for 60 mm-hmm. minutes last night. Yes, the Cowboys don't have Dak Prescott. They lost their one established, healthy offensive lineman in the first quarter last night when Zach Martin went out with a concussion. There's injuries at other positions as well. But they, and I feel very confident in saying this, and I don't think it's going to change. They are playing in the worst division the NFL has ever offered up.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, it is. It is very, very, very bad. The carnage left behind by the Cardinals' convincing win, it's all over the place. Mike McCarthy is getting skewered for claiming our preparation coming into this game was the best all year. Classic coach from the coach's save-your-own-backside playbook. Not on me. Mm-hmm. They were perfectly prepared, okay?
They didn't execute.
Right, right. Then you've got the anonymous players now who are saying these guys are not even good at their jobs. You've got the leading columnist in Dallas saying it was a mistake to ever have paid Ezekiel Elliott. You've got Deion Sanders, a former Cowboy, pouring all his love to Buda Baker, calling him a dog with two G's. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be just one day. Somebody refer to me as a dog. Two G's.
D-A-W-G-G.
You just keep doing what you're doing. It'll happen.
then there's the image of the inconsolable Cowboys fan who's got to live with that today. Dude, oh, stop crying, man. It's just a football game.
Somebody already has doctored that picture up. Let me show you this. Uh-oh.
It's definitely going to be a meme.
Now that the female Cowboys fan is reaching over and kissing the cheek of Kyler Murray.
You predicted it, by the way. The Wikipedia page was changed.
It was.
Where Kyler Murray was now the owner of that stadium.
death, taxes, and somebody doctoring a Wikipedia page after a performance.
You know that's
like that.
Coming.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, and then, like I said, there's this realization that, okay, Cowboys fans, all you've got left is maybe winning a playoff berth from one of the worst divisions possible. The I do know this. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at all if the Cowboys look into maybe trying to get to pull Ryan Fitzpatrick out of Miami. I don't know. But, I don't know what the Dolphins are doing. They might want him there for Tua.
That was going to be my point. If you're handing, I think the timing is a little bit curious. Honestly, Miami's been playing better. They're 3-3. They're in second place now, a game out of first place.
They're ahead of the Patriots, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. They are a half game ahead of the Patriots. So they're obviously playing for something this year. And I give Brian Flores a lot of credit. I don't think it would be wise at this point to trade Ryan Fitzpatrick, even if the Tua Tagovailoa situation works out great. You don't know what's going to – I mean, Tua's had a little bit of an injury history, not only with the hip but with the ankles, Go ahead, give him the keys to the offense, see what happens, but it's nice to have a security blanket like Ryan Fitzpatrick if you're chasing a playoff spot. I had seen Matthew Stafford's name pop up. I don't know if that's a possibility. The trade deadline is November 3rd in the National Football League. So we're going to see a little bit more from Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't improve, the Cowboys might have to do something.
They might have to do something, yeah. They call Tampa, get Josh Rosen.
There's a possibility.
Or
can they make their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, back as an active player?
Yeah.
How about Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston has languished on the sidelines in New Orleans.
Yes, it's true.
That seems like, he could sling the ball around, that's
for
sure. Yeah,
for a team that already turns the ball over four times a week, Jameis will fit right in.
That's true.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, right on top of that one.
Can't beat time.
No, can't. So this is, I think that's the spoils that come out of this game. I do think that Tom and Gilbert put a really good point on the offensive performance. The Cardinals, it was more easy than it was impressive, were his words. And I think that is accurate when it comes to what we witnessed from the offense. So yeah, there were some big plays, but like you pointed out, when that thing was 14 zip, it was like the Cowboys just checked out.
Yeah.
21 zip, they were just riding out the string. Yeah. So but again, it really just comes down now to, all right, you've kind of repaired some of the damage from those two losses by beating two really bad teams in the Jets and the Cowboys. We all assumed the Cowboys' offense was going to be maybe a stricter test than they were, but maybe the Cardinals' defense deserves credit for that. Maybe they unplugged that offense before they ever got a chance to get anything going, and that's a good strategy to execute.
So who do you think is going to win that NFC East now, if you had to predict?
I still think it's going to be Dallas.
It's certainly not.
They look so bad. I mean, is it maybe just because it was Dalton's first game?
Did you see Bill Barnwell's tweet, by the way, of the two deep depth chart to start the year for Philadelphia? Everybody's hurt except for Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And Max Kellerman and Dan Orlovsky were fighting on national television about Carson Wentz and
That's
who
right.
deserves the blame.
Yeah.
Washington's a mess. Could the Giants, because they have a coach who is a disciplinarian and they play hard, could they be a team that sneaks up and steals that division? I don't think they have the talent to do it, but they play hard for Joe Judge. I'll give them that. That might be the biggest advantage I've seen of anybody in the division. Dallas, even with all the injuries, still has a ton of talent.
Yeah,
especially
I'm with you.
In their front seven defensively last night, they should be embarrassed. DeMarcus Lawrence is making a ton of money. Alden Smith is there. They got Everson Griffin. Van Der Esch came back. Jalen Smith, a hell of a linebacker.
They've got this gigantic nose tackle last night. Dontari Poe is his name.
Poe, yeah.
He didn't have a tackle. The guy is 305 pounds.
You know what? I didn't even notice him on the field last night.
The Cardinals ran the ball a lot, and this guy didn't even care enough to make a tackle. There was a lot of quit on that field from the Cowboys last night, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, but it's all the coaching staff's fault.
Yeah, right.
Trust me, they're not any good either. But It was so refreshing to watch. Text GATE to 620-620 and listen for your name at 5 p.m. for your chance to win a brand new barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. You'll also be invited to an exclusive virtual tailgate featuring Arizona Sports host and a chance to win a $250 prize pack from Four Peaks Brewing Company. Text GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports virtual tailgate is presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. We're halfway through on this Tuesday. The Bickley Blast is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.